I'll be happy to answer questions about these amendments or anything else on which you have questions.
Madam Chair.
Just Representative Baum first, and then Representative Minnis.
Local government. Let's say the Grand City Police are the ones that bust this lab in town. And inside there's cash, and, you know, we get a couple $100,000 worth of assets there. Under the proposed amendment, they spent $5,000 in investigating that crime. They get the $5,000 back, and $195 goes to this special fund.
Madam Chair, Representative Baum, we have not addressed forfeitures by local entities in these amendments. They are dealt with in Section 10 of the bill. Section 10 is fairly complex, and I think you will hear testimony later today about how proceeds at the local level should be divided between local general funds, prosecuting entities, law enforcement entities, and so on. We have not addressed those issues. We are simply addressing the situation in which the forfeiting agency is an agency of the state, which ordinarily would be the state police or the attorney general's
office. You have no intent. That's purely state officers doing that.
That's correct, Madam Chair. Representative Baum, the structure of the bill deals with local jurisdictions in Section 10, I believe, and the state in Section 11. And we have proposed amendments to to replace Section 11 in the event that the constitutional amendment is adopted by the voters.
Representative Minnis?
Yes, Corey, how would the amendment affect interagency task forces where there's a cooperative effort between local jurisdictions and the state police? Or
Madam Chair, Representative Minnis, currently, as I understand the structure of the bill, one agency would end up being the forfeiting agency. And that forfeiting, whether the forfeiting agency, if the forfeiting agency was an agency of local government, it would be dealt with under the provisions of Section 10. And you may need to bring Mr. Shepherd back to answer this. My understanding is that sharing agreements would be permissible if the forfeiting agency were a local government. If the forfeiting agency ultimately, under an interagency sharing agreement, were an agency of the state police or the Department of Justice.
Okay, could we, maybe Mr. Shepherd can address that. I don't think I'd want to taint that money if the state was involved in a cooperative effort by local municipal police.
Madam Chair, Representative Minnis, I think that this touches on one of the concerns that the Attorney General expressed regarding interagency cooperation, because the proposal would do is make it not very rational for a local jurisdiction to involve the state of Oregon in a joint investigation. And the reason it would not be very rational is that it would very much complicate the distribution of the money, in as much as if the state agency were to serve as the lead agency and be the forfeiting agency, the proposed amendments would cut the local jurisdictions out of any share that they would receive if they instead were designated as the lead agency in that investigation. And so what it would mean to the Department of Justice and the Oregon State Police is that we would go into an interagency investigation with a significant cross to bear. And it would mean, in all probability, that in all interagency investigations, we would not be able to serve as the lead agency. And in fact, we have served as the lead agency from time to time. Let me make one other comment about that, the question of sharing. The bill does provide that in the event that a local agency is the lead agency, that they may share the assets with other law enforcement agencies. However, the proposed amendments do not provide that the state may share anything other than the vehicles or the actual pieces of property which are seized. It does not provide for sharing of cash that may be seized and forfeited to a state agency. And so again, we would not be on an equal playing field with a local agency which served as the forfeiting agency.
Madam Chair, Representative Minnis, if I could follow up on that. We have not seen any proposed language on sharing agreements, but we would certainly have no objection to incorporating in provisions for sharing with local jurisdictions. It is a valuable tool, and we would certainly not want to discourage any use of it. What we do want to deal with is the use of the state's share when the state is involved in a sharing agreement. A sharing agreement, or provisions dealing with sharing agreements, in our view, would need to make clear that sharing should be proportional in some form to the amount of effort, so that a sharing agreement could not be used to circumvent requirements of the bill for disposition of proceeds. That is, a backdoor agreement couldn't be made that, well, we'll actually give you 90% and then you help us in some other ways. But, and how a local jurisdiction would choose to use its portion of any shared proceeds is not something in which the governor's office has a strong interest. The state's share, however, we would like to see handled as these amendments propose.
May I make a point here? I understand where the discussion is going. There are other interests besides the competing interests of participating law enforcement agencies, which were really the root of the concern that came up at the first hearing that we had on this bill with regard to bounty hunting. And that is the concern of the public at large as against any and all law enforcement agencies. So I just suggest to the governor's office and the Department of Justice and any other law enforcement agencies, which are amply represented here, that this distribution formula, if it is engaged so as to accommodate these competing interests but not take into account the other interest, is kind of missing the point. And I'm concerned enough about it at this point to send everybody back to the, out into the hall to figure out what the distribution ought to be as between law enforcement, and then come back into the committee and talk about what the distribution should be vis-a-vis the interest of the public at large and the concern that law enforcement agencies will develop a dependency upon the fruits of forfeiture actions at all. So that really is the chair's concern in this discussion.
Madam Chair, our position is that law enforcement agencies in general should be reimbursed.
I appreciate that. And that is that gets to the purpose of the governor's amendments. Is that right, Ms. Dressler?
That's correct.
Any other questions? Yes, Representative Minnis.
Corey, I see on the amendments that the use of the monies for drug treatment and drug education, I think those are noble endeavors. I'm just wondering in terms of the budgeting process, because what you're going to do is take this money and put it in the state general fund, a dedicated account, and then let Ways and Means divvy the money up. And I wonder if you can't already do that. I mean, in the sense that the state police are required to account for the monies that come in terms of forfeitures that are in their property. It's already under the purview of Ways and Means. If Ways and Means wants to shift money out or administratively restrict those monies within the Department of State Police, they can already do that.
Madam Chair, Representative Minnis, under our current setup, where we are receiving, the state police is receiving funds from the federal government through the Equitable Sharing Program, the purposes for which Ways and Means can allocate the funds are quite limited because the federal law does not permit them to be used for items such as drug treatment, drug education.
But under a state forfeiture law, you would be able to.
It would certainly be possible to allocate the funds to a particular agency, but then leave it up to Ways and Means by use of appropriate spending limitations to further restrict and control the use of that fund. That's quite true.
So if I could follow up with the passage of it,
yes,
even without the amendment, you'd be capable of, through the Ways and Means process, to divert those funds from the Department of State Police to any other agency or group that might be wanting to administer drug education programs. You'd be able to do that despite the federal limits on sharing.
Madam Chair, Representative Minnis, I think the amendments are necessary simply because otherwise the bill has a hole. It says the funds will go here if this happens, if the local agency does the forfeiting. It will go here if the Constitution isn't amended, and we're not going to tell you anything if the Constitution is amended.
I see what you mean. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there other questions for Mr. Shepherd or for Ms. Cushman?
Madam Chair, I assume we're going to hear a lot more on this as far as the split up and all this business later.
I'm assuming that we are too, Representative
Baum. Otherwise, I'd like to really explore this because your assurance that we're going to have the Attorney General and everyone agreement on this, because my local people are talking to me regularly about we want to make sure we get our share.
Yes, and so are mine, Representative Baum, and my local people, and your local people, and Representative Mannix's local people.
Because there's not very much
we'll
faith in the state trickle-down theory here.
Okay. Well, that might be based on experience, yeah. Representative Bond. Thank you. Sean Donahue and Al Elkins.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Al Elkins. I'm representing the Oregon Tow Truck Association. With us today is our counsel for the association, Sean Donahue, who will explain the amendments we are proposing.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I hope this will give you a chance to take a breath from a less controversial topic, which is generally eliminating, to a certain extent, the liability of towers and others who handle seized property and protecting them from possible exposure to liability under Superfund and related statutes to any hazardous materials or contaminants contained in the vehicles. I think the amendment is essentially, is two sentences to Section 4 is straightforward, and any questions we'll be happy to answer.
I just got to comment that I don't think you've changed a bit in 10 years, and it's kind of nice to see you again.
Thank you.
Mysterious comment. Is just like, let them wonder about that if you don't mind,
Some questions she's
no, the chair
asked.
Does not. The chair will not.
The chair does not answer questions.
Will not answer any questions.
Okay.
It's a possible interpretation, Representative Edmondson.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Minutes.
Question on the amendment. Would this preclude liability of an intentional act by a tow truck driver?
No, it would not. It would just preclude liability for handling those substances, Representative Menace. If, for instance, a tow truck driver did something on its own which caused a problem, that would still be a problem for the tow truck operator.
All right. Thank you.
Other questions from the committee? Well, that's pretty easy, except for the hot shots by the chair, I'd say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
John Bradley and Eric Carlson.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Eric Carlson. I'm with the League of Oregon Cities. You have a sheet in front of you, numbered legislative style and then printed single space because I still haven't figured out the controls on our word processor. Dealing with the distribution of proceeds, the League has been working with the Association of Oregon Counties and the District Attorneys Association, police chiefs and some other folks, and have worked out the language you see there. I didn't reprint subsection 1A. This all deals with section 10. I didn't reprint 1A because we don't propose any changes. That deals with the payment of court costs and the return of expenses to the agency. In B, you will notice some changes. Those are housekeeping changes. Property goes into funds, not into budgets. We needed to deal with political jurisdictions in case HJR 3 passes. And then the agency that we are talking about here is the seizing agency, because forfeiting agency is defined as either the agency that seizes the property or that does the forfeiture, which is a little broad for what we were talking about. And I don't think there is any opposition to those changes. The changes that are set forth in subsection C are the ones that the Association of Counties proposed at the last meeting, and I put them in just so I could see how they looked, and so that's why they're in this draft. The major changes in subsection D, and what we propose is to delete the sentence which provides that funds will be frozen until an agreement can be reached between the city and the county. The requirement that we enter into an agreement is still there. but the funds can be used by the local governments. What we were trying to do was reach some statutory language that would essentially fit what's going on now. Local agencies have worked well together up to this point, and what we wanted to do was develop language that would allow them to continue working together, leave them a broad range of options, and still provide that when there are forfeiture proceeds left over after payment of costs, that they would there would be negotiations to deal with prosecution costs. The final change that's proposed there in the last sentence just provides that not only agreements but ordinances would remain in effect. The DAs have looked at this, and John is here. He can speak to that.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm John Bradley from the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office. The history behind Section 10, and I'd like to, I know I've testified last time on it, but I again like to bring up the reasons why it's the way it is. In the investigation, arrest, prosecution of cases, we're talking about law enforcement functions, and we're talking about prosecution functions. The reason why the in Section 10 you have Section B is saying the property shall be credited to the general fund of the political subdivision is because those are counties. Currently, the counties do in fact provide for most of the funding for prosecution at the local level. Section C, or subsection C, which says if the political, excuse me, I'm sorry, that's what was C. D is if this political subdivision is not a county, and that means a city. Currently, there is no way to provide funding from the city to the county for the prosecution purposes. In Multnomah County, for the past 4 or 5 years, we have been doing that, and it's been fairly successful. Our agency has worked together, and has worked closely together. And what D of the proposed amendment, and also D in the original, what it would do is it would continue that pattern, and it would also continue patterns throughout the state as to those costs that incurred by law enforcement and also incurred by prosecution. Now, in this bill, the definition of law enforcement would include both the police function and the prosecution function. Section 10 was drafted originally quite hastily in the closing days of the interim special committee, or whatever, Mr. Taylor's committee, I guess is what we call it. And
the forfeiture working group.
What we have done is that the cities, some of the police chiefs, and the prosecutors have sat down, and the amendment that's proposed by the League of Cities is a compromise that's acceptable to law enforcement. If there are questions?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Clark.
Mr. Bradley, are you speaking on behalf of the district attorney statewide?
I mean
the association.
I want to say this, is that I'm speaking in terms of the district attorneys I have talked to. Mr. Ken is currently in the audience. We have a legislative meeting tomorrow night. This was agreed to on Friday. The Oregon District Attorneys Association has a legislative meeting tomorrow night, which I feel confident and I assume Mr. Penn feels confident will agree with this.
Representative Clark, does that?
Yes, it does.
Are there any other questions? Representative Baum? Were you finished, Mr. Bradley?
Yes.
Referring you back to, you're familiar with the governor's proposed amendments?
Only roughly.
Only roughly. There was some concern expressed earlier that, let's say you had a local police, a state police detective involved in a big bust, how would the pie be split up? And if they're the lead agency, by implication of their own amendments, they would maybe reimburse the local people for their time and effort and expense, but then take the remainder of the kitty and put it into a great fund to benefit all the state of Oregon for this kind of thing, which tends to get lost somewhere before it gets back to us. Now, where are we going on this from your point of view? how's this going to, if the governor's amendment, is this going to, where do they play against each other? If they get a state police detective involved on a local prosecution?
Right. The specific amendments at issue in our proposal deal with relations between cities and counties acting for their district attorneys. And so the governor's amendments really do not deal with those. There is an amendment proposed by the Association of Oregon Counties, which is in your packet, which says, in essence, that agreements to share proceeds between forfeiting agencies or seizing agencies shall be approved and that any existing agreement shall be valid. And that's really the issue that is addressed on that part of the governor's amendments, and it's the Association of Oregon Counties' proposed amendment which would be most affected by the governor's proposal. I don't see that our proposal really is affected by this, because ours deals solely with the relationship between cities and the counties as to prosecution costs.
Yours doesn't deal with the investigative costs would be spent by the agencies themselves in arresting and locating the property and all that stuff.
No, because that there was no as far as proceeds go, which are from local governments. There was no question that investigative costs should be paid first, and that costs of the legal action of the forfeiture should be paid second. What our amendment deals with is any money that's left over after that. It's really a third stage, or net proceeds, if you want to call it that, and how, you know, what happens to those net proceeds.
So the only way that you'd have to share that money with the state would be if there was an attorney general involved in somehow forfeiting the property?
Oh, no. The way I read Chapter 190, we can make agreements with anybody, as long as they're not prohibited by state statute. And I don't see anything in here that prohibits cities or counties from making an agreement with the Attorney General's office or the state police or anybody who has the authority to enter into them to share proceeds in a particular way, to share investigative expenses, or anything else.
And if there's no agreement?
If there's no agreement, my sense is that, from everything I've heard, that the parties have worked things out well to date. That is, I have asked on occasion, have there been any problems between agencies? And if there are any there, I haven't been able to dig them up. Either they're not there, or people haven't been willing to talk about them. So my sense is that we don't need a lot of detail about that in the statute, because I believe that people will be able to continue reaching those kinds of appropriate agreements. I don't see any evidence that will not occur.
I've had some concerns expressed by my local folks, the DA included. Don't let us get cut out of this pot.
Right.
Well, the primary concern, let me just see if I'm summarizing. The primary concern is that local law enforcement agencies be reimbursed for the costs of their forfeiture activities. Is that correct? Is that a correct statement of everybody's underlying sort of level playing field concern here?
I want to, Representative Bauman, I want to be somewhat broader than that, because what it is that the cost of investigating drug activity, and we're talking about drug activity, gambling activity, and prostitution activity. And when I say drug activity, I guess I want to mean all of those. But the cost of investigating and prosecuting these things come at a high cost. And what we have indicated, and I believe it was Mr. Schrunk's letter to this committee on the 20th, was that it's time for the persons responsible and involved in this activity to bear some of the costs of those expenses. And this is an attempt to get to those expenses by giving money back to the law enforcement, the police, and the prosecution.
Can I speak with that?
Yes, Representative.
Maybe I'm wrong about this, but my local law enforcement folks would not only like to have their costs reimbursed and maybe a vehicle or two, they like to have 50 or 100 grand to be able to fund some of these sting operations that go on all the time.
And this would provide for it.
But that's
10.
Beyond recovering your prosecutorial costs.
it's beyond the actual prosecutorial cost, but our costs, as far as our prosecutorial costs and the police costs of prosecuting drug cases, far exceeds any monies that will be recaptured here. And I may not be answering, I guess I'm not answering the question.
I'm getting a different perception maybe from local people that they just don't want to stop at the fact that they maybe have spent a few extra hours on this or whatever, gasoline or whatever it cost them to get the job done other than their normal. They wanted to make a profit on it.
Well, okay. I wouldn't want to say a profit.
I'm not gonna.
But I think what it is this, is that we, say in Multnomah County, for instance, let's say we go in and we happen to arrest somebody who happens to be carrying $400,000 on their person that are all related to drug expenses. And I think this is true of most local law enforcement agencies. I would not want to just recapture the $400,000 for that case because, in fact, that case may have only taken, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 to prosecute. But the excess money are monies that go to the cases we never recapture a cent to help prosecute those. And as we indicated in our letter, that currently in our office, we actually have a number of prosecutors in our office that are dependent. They prosecute drug cases, but they're dependent upon these monies coming back so they can continue to prosecute drug cases. And I think that's true of the district attorney in your county.
And that's, then we're talking the same line then.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure.
We are.
Just a quick question in reference to the governor's amendment again. Subsection 2 talks about the uses would be for enforcement, prosecution of criminal laws, drug treatment, drug education. I guess my question would be that if you did have the state as the lead agency involved in your county, that you may have some difficulties because those monies would be going back to this new fund, although I have a contract, and I don't think that this could impair the contract, as I understand it, but it creates a series of problems. I also see a third problem here, in that they're providing for prosecution of criminal laws, and then your intergovernmental agreement's doing it too. So at least you may have some potential conflicts with it. I don't know how it actually works, but you might.
Although, as I think Mr. Carlson indicated, and I think it's correct, that Section 10 as amended is basically what we have operated in most counties throughout the state, and it has been a successful way of funding law enforcement.
Representative Clark, when let's say that there's an operation that produces more than just your expenses, the windfall Representative Baum was talking about, under the compromises you've come up with, that comes back to you. What does that do? Go to the county, and the county, or does it go directly to the district attorney?
As I understand the funding of the county, Mr. Trump, correct me if I'm wrong, the money has to come back to the county general fund.
Okay.
And but I think it's been the experience of most prosecutions and local law enforcement is that the local elected officials are very sensitive about
drug
prosecution, and they have, in most instances, allocated it to them.
Is that the way it's going to work with the cities, too, Mr. Carlson?
That's correct, Representative Clark.
Okay. What I'm trying to get at is, in terms of the governor's proposed amendments, wanting at the state level, wanting that money to come back and have some legislative oversight on it. I'm trying to draw some parallels and some consistency in what we're doing here.
Representative Clark, I realize in Multnomah County, and I'm speaking primarily from Multnomah County, we don't deal that often with the state police on joint investigations. I mean, we do. In fact, we have the state police have been very helpful on some of our things. But I'm saying, you know, if you look at 1,000 cases, the number of cases we're involved with a joint agency like the state police is not very often. This is the guts of what we do on a day-to-day basis.
Other questions?
Yes, Madam Chairman.
Yes.
I may say that I think that Mr. Bradley and I and Mr. Snyder are going to want to look at the governor's amendment now in light of the agreements that we've reached as between the cities and counties and see where that leaves us. The structure of the act is that Section 9 provides for distribution at the court level. That is, whether there are any private parties that have liens, banks, that kind of thing. Section 10 deals with what happens to proceeds that go to a local government, and Section 11 then is an alternative to that if the proceeds go to the state government. And what we may be missing is any kind of a link up
right.
in there. Though there is in Section 10 permission, if you look, I think it's in sub E on page 11, up on line 5, it says the forfeiting agency may sell, lease, lend, or transfer the property or proceeds to any federal, state, or local law enforcement agency. So that as the local government, there's authority in there to dispose of those proceeds to a state or federal agency. And I think what we would want to see is some reciprocal language authorizing the state to do the same thing with respect to local agencies.
No, Madam Chair, all I'm getting at is if in Section 10 or 11, whichever one it is, we're saying that when money goes back to a county or city, in effect it gets routed through the general fund or that governing body to make the ultimate decision on what happens with it, I'm trying to find a consistency between that and what we do vis-a-vis the state.
Right.
And I don't particularly care which way it goes, at least at this point I don't, but I can't think of any reason not to do it consistently. Maybe there are some reasons, but I'll leave it at that.
Yes, Representative Vaughn.
Just kind of a parting shot. I'm concerned that the governor's amendment might be interpreted.